All right, guys, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go ahead and get started now today. So do me a favor, guys. If you guys have your Bibles, please go ahead and open up with us. If you have your study book for the Sunday school, A Sure Foundation, please open up where we left off last Sunday on page number 9899. And again, guys, as always, as courtesy, this year we're beginning to provoke our members a little bit more. Y'all been serving a little bit longer. Y'all know enough now on how to be here and be here on time with a good heart, good spirit. Let's try our best to put our phones on silent, try our best to focus. Let's give God our full attention. Try not to be playing video games at church. Try not to be distracted. So that way you guys can give your heart to the Lord and show him how much you love him, because you're here. You're giving him your heart. All right, guys, page 98. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off here. We're talking about the Word of God. That's going to be part number two. And let's go ahead and pray and open up with a word of prayer. Father, thank you now for the Word of God. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. Pray that you'd minister to us so we can learn and we can use that knowledge to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's talk about the other historical facts concerning why we can trust the Word. And let's go now. We're on the bottom page 98. Another reason why we can trust the Word of God, that is the Bible, is because Jesus predicted his own claims of being the Messiah on the prophecies of Old Testament Scripture. Do me a favor. If you don't have the green book, you have your Bible, turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke, chapter number 24. One of the reasons why we can trust the Bible is because of prophecies, but not only that, the claims of Jesus Christ fulfilling those prophecies. So here we have something that God said hundreds of years ago, thousands. Jesus said, I'm here and I'm fulfilling that thing that was written right over here. That's why we can trust and have confidence in the scriptures as well. So turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, the Lord Jesus Christ was walking along the road to Emmaus with two disciples. These disciples were very sad. Jesus asked him why they were so sad. They told him that the one that they had hoped was their Messiah had been crucified. They said that there had been those who had gone to the sepulcher early that morning and found the tomb empty and the body of Jesus gone. They told him they were upset about not knowing what had become of the body. So now let's look at the Lord's response in Luke 24, 25 through 27. Luke 24, 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So guys, according to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, beginning with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, we got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. According to all that was written in the prophets, Jesus Christ explained that he fulfilled everything that God foretold and prophesied that would come to pass in his life. And here we have the fulfillment of those things. So, hope you have your Bible following along now. Let's go ahead and continue there. We're speaking of the writing and the testimony of whatever Moses wrote in those first five books concerning the fulfillment. Okay, you're in Luke 24. Go down with me now to verse number 44. The Bible says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. And now look at what Jesus also includes concerning Old Testament prophecy and how he was the fulfillment of a lot of those things and why you can trust the Bible. In the prophets, so now there goes all the what we call major and minor prophets, and in the Psalms. Now, even though he doesn't specifically include the wisdom literature like Proverbs, right, and those other small wisdom books, that word Psalms there is generally covering all those wisdom poetry books. And look at what he says concerning me. So, according to Jesus, the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophetic writings were all the inspired word of God, testifying of the person of Jesus Christ. So, if you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament, you're not reading it properly. You need to find Christ in your Old Testament, and then you're reading the Bible properly. In verses 45 and 46, look at what we read in Luke 24. The Bible says, "Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Do you see there? So, what do we have here? The Lord Jesus said the law, the prophets, and the Psalms are God's words, and they are to be believed. When Jesus wanted to prove that he was indeed the Savior of the world, that he was indeed the Son of God, that he was indeed God manifest in the flesh, come to seek and to save lost and fallen mankind, he simply had to appeal to the written Word of God. And so let's go quickly to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at here in your Bible. And if you have your green book, we're on page 99. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit said here through the inspiration given to Paul, verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the third, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So everything that Jesus Christ fulfilled was already prophesied and foretold where, church? The Scriptures. Everything that Christ fulfilled was already prophesied in the Scriptures. Beloved, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's what the Bible says in the Scriptures, how you know, how you can know. Look at 1 John 5, verse number 13. 1 John 5, verse number 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So God has given us his word that we might know him, and number two, that we might know we have eternal life, and to know who has given us this eternal life, which is the Son of God. Do you guys see there? So today, moving forward, the only one who's going to help you to understand more of the knowledge of God is Jesus, the Son of God, but he's not going to do it outside of the Scriptures. So you have to develop your own private personal relationship with him by reading your Bible every single day. That's the only way you're going to increase in your knowledge of God and in your love for him. There's only so much that you guys can do to go off the energy of other Christians, if you will, in their service. If you don't develop now a stronger, mature spirit to just study your own Bible and read it, before you know it, you're going to lose that zeal because you're going off others. So just remember, through the Scriptures. Okay, point number three, bottom page 99. Jesus stated with emphasis that all things predicted in the Scriptures would be fulfilled. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to verse 17 or 18. Jesus said that all things that are written in the Scriptures would be fulfilled. Let's go there. Matthew 5, verse 17, 18. Jesus said here, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." So friend, God is sinless. God is holy. God is true and righteous altogether. God came to this earth. He was manifest in a body of flesh. It does not take an intelligent man. It takes an honest man to recognize that if the law and the prophets and the Psalms of the Scriptures were not true, then the Lord Jesus Christ would certainly not have set his seal of approval upon them. The priesthood had grown corrupt. We're talking about Israel. Jesus condemned it. The chosen people had gone astray, talking about Israel. Jesus pointed out their errors. The teachers of the law had led men astray, talking about the priesthood and those that were in spiritual authority over Israel. Jesus enunciated their evils. Surely, had the Scriptures been tainted or corrupted by men, the Lord would have told us. Rather, he said that heaven and earth will pass away, before one jot or one tittle of God's word would pass away. Christ would not have promised to preserve them when the heavens and the earth were no more if the scriptures were not right. The Lord Jesus Christ found the word of God to be just exactly what it was supposed to be. He found it to say just exactly what it was supposed to say, and you would do well to believe the word of God. So do me a favor, friend. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn your Bible there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in your New Testament, and it's right after the book of Colossians and right before 2 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and let's read together here in verse number 13. What's going to change your life, and what's going to renew your mind, and what's going to strengthen your heart to be obedient to God's word, to help you to manage your feelings and to have control and power over your will, is when you believe what you're reading is the very word of God. If you do not believe what you're reading is the very word of God, then you're already allowing sin in you to convince you it's not trustworthy. It's not worth your time. You don't really have to, because it's not real. Really, that's what it comes down to. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The Bible says here, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So, what's going to convince you to want to come to church on time when you believe the word of God is true? What's going to convince you to go soul winning with your church members when you believe the word of God is true? What's going to convince you to start living better, living right, dressing modestly, being obedient, being sober, doing everything that Jesus commands you to do? It's when you open up those pages and you honestly believe it, that's God's word. Because it's going to convince you, I need to do it. But when you begin to doubt within your own spirit and say to yourself, self, I know it's the Bible. I got the general meaning that, you know, it tells me about God, but I'm not convinced that I have to do this, you know, like I'm the only one. No. That's when you're going to become deceived. And that's why the word of God is not having an effect in your life, because you're not trusting that it is God's word. So regardless of the people you listen to, you cannot continue to go off of their commentary. You have to at some point develop a personal relationship with you and the scriptures to convince you, man, I got to serve God, because he says here, here, here. And now I'm not necessarily being compelled by Brother Carlos, even though he's my pastor, if I am. When I ask you and I tell you, come on, let's go do this, let's go do that, you're going to be compelled and convinced because Jesus told you in the scriptures, okay? So let's keep reading. Point number 4, we're on page 100 if you have your green book. Jesus, in turn, declared new prophecies. The outstanding one has been strikingly fulfilled. Let's go there. Mark 13. Jesus himself also prophesied of future events, adding to the revelation of the scriptures. What do I mean by that? Well, you already had the Old Testament and already had the God-given inspiration and revelation for future stuff to happen. So then when God manifests, here we have him in the flesh, Jesus Christ, he can add to the revelation already given for the future. Look at Mark 13. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. So if you guys can imagine, here we have Jesus walking through Jerusalem. And whenever they would go to the temple and do the obligations required of them by the law as Jews, they would point out to him, man, Lord, look at that. Look at all these stones. Look at this wall. Look at the decorations. Look at how nice it looks. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So what did Jesus prophesy? The buildings will be what? Thrown down. So at some point, it's going to be destroyed. That's what he prophesied, okay? He went on to declare that he would go to Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests. They would put him to death. He testified that he would suffer, that he would bleed and die the cruel, torturous death of a Roman cross. He testified that his body would be laid in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, while he would be in the heart of the earth. He testified that he would indeed rise from the dead and ascend to the right hand of the throne of his Father in heaven. All this he fulfilled to the letter. He declared that he would indeed save from sin every man and woman that would come to him and believe on him. This he does each and every day. He said that he would come again. And my friends, just as surely as the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled, God was manifest in the flesh and came to this earth the first time, and he will come again just as he said. So just as surely as God sent his son into the world to die to pay for your sin, he will save you and forgive you of your sins if you will call upon him. I want to go ahead and look up some scriptures with you. Let's go ahead and do here. I'm going to go ahead and type it in here because this is an argument that I use in my apologetics, in my defense, when people want to debate or discuss and ask me how they can trust the Bible. And I use this reasoning. So give me a second here. And let me go ahead and just type this in here so we can find them together. So remember how the author said that Jesus prophesied of his up and coming betrayal and his crucifixion. So Jesus said it multiple times. I'm just looking it up for you in three verses because my Bible software. But Matthew 17:22, he said, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men." You guys see there? Okay, let me go and look up some more verses here. Give me a second. Oh, let me go and exit out of that as well. There we go. And then let's go here. He said in verse 23, "They shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." And they were exceeding sorry. Matthew 26:45, he tells them, "The Son of Man is betrayed." So then right at the moment of it being accomplished, he tells them, "This is what I was referring to concerning his up and coming betrayal." Let me go ahead and look up some other ones here. There's some other ones here. Matthew 20. The Bible says here, "And concerning the Son of Man, he shall be betrayed," verse number 18, "unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." You guys see there. And then elsewhere in other portions of the New Testament, just for the sake of time, I don't have the ability to look them up, but he prophesied of when he would be betrayed, by whom he would be betrayed, and who would kill him. But he said he will rise from the dead the third day. So that's another way that you can tell people, here's why you can trust the Bible, because of prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus, he went ahead and fulfilled what he said he would fulfill. Okay, so point number five, we're on page 101. Point number five, page 101. Some have thought that during Jesus' earthly life, he was limited in knowledge, and therefore his testimony was of little value. But his most striking endorsement of the scriptures, being the word of God, came after his resurrection, and there certainly can be no argument that he had infinite knowledge in his triumphant state. In his infinite knowledge, he said, as we already read in Luke 24, that the Old Testament scriptures were true. He explained and expounded to his disciples the things concerning himself from those scriptures. The deity of Jesus Christ, that is, the truth that God was manifest in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, stand or fall together. Jesus endorsed the Scriptures. And if he was God in the flesh, that settles the authority of Scripture. If God came to earth and declared that the written Scriptures were his words, then how dare we believe mortals, you know, like man, who would teach otherwise? Like, it's false, it's fake, you can't trust it. We cannot accept a part of the Bible as the Word of God and reject any other part of the Bible. It's either all the Word of God or none of the Word of God. And it is so interwoven. One part endorses the other and vice versa. It proves a complete whole and it cannot be broken. We are solemnly warned against adding to or taking from the Scriptures. Let's listen to the last thing that God the Father ever spoke to man. Let's go to Revelation 22. Now, this is important. This is important because in your day and age, you are going to run into Christians who claim and will tell you on YouTube or social media or people you like to listen to on TikTok and all those things that God spoke to them. God gave me a word, or God helped me to see something that no man has seen for 2,000 years or 3,000 years, and I have the truth. I want you to like, follow, subscribe, share my teachings, blah, blah, blah. Here's why they're wrong, and here's why the Bible is right. Look at Revelation 22, verse 18 through 19. I need you to now really trust what you're reading. This is the last thing that God ever told a man. I need you to understand that. Look at what he says in verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So do you see how highly God esteems his word? Page 102 in the green book. He has magnified his word above his very name. Let me show you that on the screen. Just look up to the projector. Look at Psalm 138. Look at Psalm 100. There is no 180. Look at Psalm 132. I'm sorry, Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 2. Look up to the screen here. The Bible says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So guys, Revelation 22, Psalm 138. What is more important to God than his own name? His word. So when someone says, hey, listen to me, I got a new revelation from God. I got this understanding no one else has for the past 2,000 years since Jesus left and started to build his church. And they want to begin to tell you something that tickles your ears and it sounds cool because of the video effects on their TikTok or YouTube or Instagram and how they do all that little show. They're wrong. And God is right. The last thing that God told you in Revelation 22 is if anybody adds to this, here's the judgment. If anybody takes away, here's the judgment. That's what you need to know. So what should you focus on then? Reading what he already gave you. Genesis to Revelation. That's all you got. That's all you need. We're not here to give you anything more, and we're not here to take away. We're just here to give you what he's given us all and preserved perfectly, and you can read that for yourself today. He has exalted his word to the place of preeminence in the world today. My friend, you cannot believe God and not believe his word. And you cannot believe his word without believing on Jesus Christ. For this is the record that God has given unto us concerning his son. Now, this is important. Let's read together in 1 John 5. Because when men argue against the authority of the scripture, when men want to question why your Bible is incorrect and, you know, things like that, what they are telling God is that he's a liar. Now, they're not going to tell you that because they claim to be Christian. It's kind of sad nowadays. But what they're going to tell you is, well, the manuscripts, there's some things here, there's some things there. We don't have every letter, but we have the main message. We have the meaning. You know, God just preserved enough for us. No. You either have all of God's word or you don't. Bottom line. But here's why that becomes important. Because if they say that the Bible cannot be trusted, they are calling God the record he gave of his son, a lie. Because if you have one thing or one portion of the Bible omitted or missing or questioned, then you're already testifying that God is a liar. Look at 1 John 5:11. Well, let's read from verse number 10. This is really good. The Bible says here, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. That's why I said what I said. So do you see? Me, as a teacher of the Bible, I am going to regurgitate a Bible verse in other words, but it's the same, you know, meaning or principle or, if you will, interpretation. I can apply that now and say, whoever doubts the Bible authority, questions the Bible verses, what they're doing, unfortunately, is they're calling God a what? A liar. So one more time. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. But you cannot have the witness if you deny and reject the witness, and you say, Brother Carlos, what is that? The word of God. John 3:16. Who can quote it for me? Go for it. Sister Eileen. Try it, Gibby. John 3:16. What does it say? I'll give you help. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him should not, but if I reject that record, I am calling God a what? A liar. So now all you got to do is just stretch it out and apply that to our friends out in the world, whoever they are, doesn't matter. Oh, you can't trust that verse. Oh, you can't trust that because there's a mistake, there's an error. You know what they're doing? They're calling God a liar because they're testifying that his record is not perfect, that his record is not sure. That's why you need to be a part of a church that tells you what you're reading is the Word of God. Perfect, preserved, so you can agree with God and not be found calling him a liar. So, if the Bible is that important to God, it should be to you. Can I give you a side nugget, though, in love? If your video game is more important than reading your Bible, then God's Word is not as important to you as it is to him. If your computer time is more important than reading the Bible, then the Bible is not as important to you as it is to God. If hanging out with friends and watching TV and television programs and social media and cooking and eating and sleeping and everything else that you can do on this earth, even though you have the liberty to do it, but if you find yourself doing more of that than trusting his word and meditating in his word and believing in his word, then you are not stressing as much of importance on his word like God does. So today, before you raise your hand and say, yeah, brother, love Jesus, I love this Bible we read here at church, are you sure you love him a lot? Are you sure you really love him? I mean, let's be honest now. Are you really sure you love him as much as God loves his word? You'd be dedicated. You'd be sold out. You'd be fervent and energetic and zealous. You'd be on fire every day to do something. So just think about that. And love, that's a little side nugget. Okay, 102, almost done. Here's what God asks you to do, friend. He asks you to trust him. You know what? He's worthy of your trust. God asks you to believe on him. He's never done anything that would cause anyone to lose faith or confidence in him. Oh, that God of the Bible is true, and the Bible of God is true. God has given you his word today. He has told you in his word that you're a sinner, and yet he loves you. He declares that you have transgressed his holiness, his standard, which is absolute sinless perfection, and yet he is gracious and merciful. God wants you to dwell in perfect, glorious harmony with him in heaven. He wants you to enjoy your life now and to have everlasting life beyond the grave. God knew that because of your weakness, your frailty, your sinfulness, you cannot get to heaven. No sin can enter that blessed place. No weakness, no iniquity, no transgression of any kind can enter heaven. So you know what God did? He took upon himself the form of a man so he could bear your sin in his body on the cross. He suffered, he bled, he died, and he rose again. And you know what he offers you? Eternal life, if you believe in him. If you will only trust him as your personal Lord and Savior, he will forgive your sins because the Scripture says. He will give you everlasting life because the Scripture says. So my friend, that gift cannot be purchased. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. That's why it's called a gift. You got to receive it. He wants to give it to you. Do you want it? Would you humble yourself and ask him to save you today? Just be honest with him and agree with him that you're a sinner who needs to be saved. And before we close, if you've already done that, say, Brother Carlos, I'm already a Christian, then would you continue to prove to him your love by obeying his command, by being obedient, and by being ready for every good work when he begins to show you some things in your life, coming short, daughter, don't do this, son, I don't want you to do that, daughter, I want you to do more of this, son, I want you to do more of that. Would you let him if you trust him? All right. Hope that was a blessing to you for the Sunday school hour. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and get ready. That went by pretty quick. Take a break and get ready for church. Father, we thank you. We pray for the church members. Hopefully, God, they're on their way. Hopefully, they'll get here safely. And Lord, we just pray for a good rest of our day as we commit this work into your hands. In Jesus' name, please increase our love for your word. Amen.